We're talking the hashtag Black Women at Work and mental health issues in the Black community get addressed by some new psychologists. All that and more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
No, she'll never be queen, so now she got the vendetta. I ain't talking about David when I say I'm a getter. 20 mil on my off season, of course. 20 million when you ain't put out no album or tours. Yes, bitch, I mean, pretty and icy. Get it icy, but my name spelled in icy.
Hey.
We went under, y'all. And we supporting Nicki Minaj this week, I guess.
I mean, I just said it. I don't know why I said it. And then he
no, that was
put
good.
It in.
I like it. I like it. That's a good coming song. What's up, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're joining us here at Black Hollywood Live this week. I'm still rolling a little bit. Hold on. I'm your host, Courtney Stewart. Unfortunately, Dariel Kristen has more important things to do today because he's hanging out with the Fast and the Furious, and Rachel True just disappeared and she got to work too, so it's just me and DJ Justin Jenity in the building.
What's up? I'm doing really important research and development here. I'm just going to ask you guys, because I'm in the chat room too, so I want to talk to you guys.
We're going to talk to everybody.
You guys, what was the orange soda from the 90s and it was black packaging? Was it Sunkist?
He swears it was in a black package, y'all. I don't know what he's talking about. Help us out.
It was my... Oh, my God.
The goal will be to figure that out before the end of the show.
If somebody can find that out, it was black packaging.
Black packaging, orange soda. Makes no sense to me, but apparently it happened to Jesse. I'm going to let y'all know up front, this show is probably going to be a little bit unconventional based on what we normally do. I don't really know what's going to happen on
Daryl
this show.
Daryl was literally like... I ain't coming in, Mom. Yes. Like,
people just like, I ain't coming to work today. And then me and Jesse were like, oh, it's just us. So what we going to do?
And my week been hell.
You've had a hell week? Why?
Girl.
We are at this week, so we have to talk about the week. So how is
what? I mean, okay. What? Not hell. I mean, it was just like, it's just been a lot.
And
it's
lot
been
of
like
stuff.
Consistent great things.
You've been
positive.
Busy, yeah.
Sia Amoon, the Blue Dream Project, hosted that on Tuesday. It was awesome. Make sure you guys check it out on Apple Music. And then check out Black Hollywood Lives, The Beat, because we talk about it.
Yes, you do.
It was just a long day, and like I've been like going to the gym a lot, and
you
like
have.
Just having some emotional things. You know what I mean? Like
things.
I have like an extra roommate for no reason.
Your extra roommate's still there, y'all. Oh my goodness, y'all just wait for Jesse's house, which will be coming soon.
But
to
that is
a
the positive
screen
yes.
near you, and you're gonna hear all about what he's talking about in terms of these extra roommates and random things that go down.
And you'll find out why I shaved my head.
Exactly. He ain't got no hair no more, y'all. What happened? I ain't gonna lie. I actually kind of wanted to do that to myself this week.
I literally had a Britney moment. Like, yeah. It was just like, you
Let
know
it go.
What? It's the time.
Let it
and
go.
Make sure you guys check it out. I am working on that project with the homie Courtney.
He's working on a project, guys. Okay.
And you'll find out why.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So I ain't gonna talk about my week because I don't want to remember it at this point. I did work out,
yeah,
so that was really good.
Thought.
I went hiking every day, so I feel good about my life in that regard. But some people wanted to share when they don't be feeling so good about their life up at work this week. So what went down, Jesse?
So Bill O'Reilly had Maxine Waters on the show, and he referenced her hair looking like James Brown. Now, there's a time and a place to crack jokes and whatnot and things like that, and this was not really one of them. Twitter went ham.
Yes, they did, honey.
And they started this hashtag Black Women at Work because this, to them, reminded them how hard it is, one, not only to be a woman in the workforce, but to be a black woman in the workforce and having to take little little jabs and things like that, or pay cuts, or you know what I mean? Just things like that, you know?
Pay cut? What you talking about? We never got the pay to begin with, okay? What? Black women are at the bottom of that list.
So Twitter has just been going ham with it. Bill O'Reilly has come out to apologize and say, you know,
I was just joking.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was trying to say.
I was misplaced.
Oh,
I was
these
joking.
Liberals. They're so sensitive, these liberals.
It's so annoying because also, and they always like, oh, it's not a black thing and da da da, whatever. It's all good. But you literally, like, they're talking about serious policy issues. Maxine's clip when she was on the Senate floor or whatever, and literally to change the topic, like, make the issue about her hair was the most absurd and stupid thing ever on earth. So even if you thought it was a joke, you're a failure. And that's how we feel about that.
Sorry about it. Let's move on to something that really matters here, other than Bill O'Reilly's whack ass. All right. So during March 19th and March 24th, a dozen Black and Latino children went missing in the D.C. area. So here's where we have, like, why I can really appreciate social media. So, you know, kids tend to go missing and things like that. Like, that's not something shocking or new, but it was just kind of a big clump of young women.
Seemingly all at the same time.
You know, just gone. So, the media didn't want to report on it. The police didn't really want to, like, do too much investigation into it. So Twitter decided to start a hashtag and let everyone know. So you've probably seen on a lot of people's social media this exact picture kind of going around to bring awareness to the subject. I think it's interesting, though, how little coverage it's getting, because I keep reading different sites, and everyone has totally
That's sort of why we didn't talk about it before, because it was there was a lot of conflicting information coming out, and we weren't really sure what was happening, because at one point there was concern that it was all a part of a sex trafficking ring and, like, all this. And as far as I'm aware, that has been debunked, and it wasn't the case. But the issue seemed to be that the police decided to start using social media more to get the word out about these women. And it wasn't necessarily that there was suddenly this massive increase of snatched up girls, but that these girls, I mean, are, it's always a problem is the issue, but it just seemed like there was a cluster at one time because they started using social media at a specific time. But that doesn't take away the fact that there's lots of missing Black and brown girls that don't get put on Amber Alert and all that kind of stuff. So that is an issue. And
They came out to say, I mean, you know, so since 2017, 534 kids have been missing. The police came out to say that, you know, this isn't really something like, maybe it's shocking for you guys because, you know, you're seeing it now and it's in your face and this is something, you know, that we should be worried about. But typically, on average, 200 kids go missing a month.
That's
this
so
year,
scary.
Though, this year, it's actually gone down to 10 children, 190 a month. So people coming at the media, people coming at the police, again, I think that it comes to just really making sure that we wait before we make a comment.
Yeah, or try to get as much information as possible. But in the same vein or on the same note, it's not a bad thing that people started posting this everywhere, even if they didn't have the story completely clear, because that still got those pictures of those girls out all over the place. So that's still a fantastic thing and a scary thing, because good Lord.
That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids. Like,
and I mean, it goes big.
One kid is a lot of kids to just be missing and have no idea where they are.
And then it keeps bringing me back to, like, bring our girls back. Like, how just under the butt, like, don't even talk about it. Don't even think about it. Like, you know, and it's not important to us anymore because we have so many new hashtags.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this world, it's just a really confusing place. And that's where my week has been, actually. My week has just been, the fuck is going on in this world?
Yeah.
Like, it was so simple. It was so simple. And then, like, 12 happened when you turned 12. And it's just like, the fuck?
I learned, though, in seventh grade health, I think it was. Because in seventh grade, we're turning, like, 13, right? So, like, you start out at 12 and then you usually turn 13. I'm pretty sure we turned 13 in seventh grade, but whatever. In health, you learned, like, we learned that technically the age of 12 is physically the top of our hill. And that from then on, you're going.
I believe that. 100, just, yeah.
And I was like, oh, dang. We were laughing in class, but then now I'm like, dang, was that really like the good life? And this is where we are now, guys.
I believe it. All right.
But 12 wasn't that great.
But it was like the build up to 12. You know what I mean? And then it's like at 12, it's like, oh my God, I can almost drive. And then you're like holding on to those. Like, it's like then. The world has created this thing where you're, like, waiting for this epic moment in time. It's, like, at 12, you're like, oh, my God. Oh, no, 11. Wait, what is it? 10, you're double digits. 13, you're a teenager. 15, you're getting that permit.
Oh.
18, you can.
Well, you know, the kids nowadays don't even be going for their permits.
What do you mean?
They don't be trying to get no cars. The, like, kids getting licenses has, like, dropped crazily over.
Really?
Like, especially in cities. Obviously, like, not just like New York where you have like great transportation, but
yeah, always when I went to New York in college, I always thought it was so weird that, like, I would really have friends who were just like, yeah, no, I don't, I've never driven, like, what?
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. It's
well, now you cannot drive my car, girl.
I personally vote for 22 as the best year because you are legal, but life and, like, real, like, adult responsibility still ain't really kicked in yet for most people. Like, if you're just, like, out of college or if you're, you know, still finishing up college, like, you're just,
like those
you're
years.
Still, and you still get to kind of be, like, dependent on somebody if you need to. So the bills ain't quite what are. No, you know what I'm saying?
Health insurance.
The responsibilities ain't quite what they are. You know, I vote 22. 22 was a good year.
Well, all right. So on another note, Fortune magazine did a world's greatest leaders list.
Ooh.
And a couple of really familiar faces were on there. Ava DuVernay was number 6.
Hey, girl.
LeBron James was number 11.
Hey.
Hey. And one of my favorites, Chance the Rapper, was number 46.
Aww.
And so I just think that that's so dope that he's getting recognized among great people, too, you know, to show that he, I mean, for me, what he represents is just the dreamer, the person who says, you know what? No matter what, I don't have to be a part of the facility.
Yeah.
I can do this on my own. I can be great
by myself.
And he's done that. And the fact that he's getting so much attention for this and the fact that he's just throwing the money, you know what I mean? Like, in positive places.
In positive places, not just on cars and jewelry and houses. And those things are great, but, you know, he helping the kids and trying to change things in Chicago. I like it a lot.
I love it a lot. Shout out to everyone for that.
Congratulations world's to all leaders. Those world greatest leaders. Speaking of leaders and things that I think are super important in this world right now, we often kind of talk about mental health in the Black community on this show and how challenge. I mean, in general, in this country, we're not that accepting of dealing with mental health issues, and we don't necessarily do the things that we need to do to take care of those things. But in the Black community, it's particularly challenging, and there's a lot of sort of phobias about dealing with psychiatrists and psychologists, and if it's really necessary, and do Black people really get depressed, and, like,
well,
you need to just go to church, and, like, all of this idea.
I had a whole conversation with somebody, and they were so adamant. They're like, oh, depression, that's a white people thing. Black people don't have depression. You know, Black people don't get depressed. You know, depression is a money thing.
Well, that is a very, a
I know
very,
depressed
very,
rich people.
But no, what he's saying is that, or what I received from that, because I've heard that many a time, is that depression, to be able to be depressed and, like, exist in that space, is a luxury that Black people have never really had in this country. Even though, obviously, clinical depression is
right.
What it is, and that it can exist in anyone, but there's, you just, as Black people, as a culture, acknowledging it, succumbing to it, having to just, being able to go to a therapist and, like, chill and talk about it and deal with it, just even to get medication, like, has been more of a challenge for the Black community in general. So that's why there's a stigma sort of attached to it, because we are supposed to get up and deal with it, because life is hard enough. You can't be depressed too. Like,
y'all, let me just tell you,
but
finding
you
Courtney in my life has just been like,
ah. I love you. We support each other and we love each other. But we also always talk about mental health issues and, like, how people really need to deal with their stuff. And we be trying to deal with our stuff.
Honey,
you know
what
I'm saying?
My mental health issues.
You know,
I'm not shy.
We're trying to keep it clean and pure and figured out so we don't turn into crazy people doing crazy things. But psychologists Rihanna Anderson and Sean Jones decided to try to tackle this problem in the Black community. And they've done so by starting a new series that they post on YouTube. And the series is called something that I will find in a minute because I don't know where it is in my notes right now. But basically what they do is sit down and they actually have a conversation about aspects of mental health. Like, they had 3 goals when they went into making the series. 1, they wanted to reduce the stigma that surrounds having mental health issues and taking mental health care in general in the country for Black people. They wanted to heighten your mental health literacy. So Black folks just call, oh, that's crazy. She just crazy is not necessarily a term that defines anything.
Let's
and there
diagnose
are
it.
There are actual diagnoses that people need to know and understand. So they want you to, you know, they want to help with that. In addition, they want to provide access to mental health resources. So give information of where you can go when things are going on and when it's not so great in your life and you want to get some help. they use real life examples in their conversations, like the effects of like the Michael Brown killing, and how even when the whole thing came back up with Hillary Clinton about when she called young black men super predators back in the 90s, which was sort of, you know, part of the horrible mass incarceration movement that occurred during that time, and how racism has affected us in terms of our mental health and continues to, because it's something we face every single day, all the time. And we don't necessarily always have the tools to deal with them properly. So these two psychologists are on top of it.
Our Mental Health Minute.
Our Mental Health Minute.
And if you want to subscribe to them, they do this.
They just started it in December. Like, I want to hang out with them.
We need to hang out with them, and we need, like, marketing-wise, because I like, so their YouTube channel is RINCT.
Yes.
But I think the show's called Our Mental Health
Minute.
And then they change it. So they have one for PTSD. Need to watch that.
Yes.
Anxiety. Need to watch that. Stereos and micros. Don't know what that means, so I'll need to watch that.
Stereos
racial socialization.
Micros. Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think, well, they also made an interesting comment in the article that
and they're only 2 minutes.
Yeah, they're really short. And that it, like, feeds the perfect, like, energy that we have right now, where people can't watch anything for more than like 5 seconds. So I think it's a fantastic
that's why
idea.
Our views are like this.
But I like that they said that part of their like desire to do this is that they felt a responsibility. Like, yes, black people need, you know, more information and need to be more open to, you know, dealing with mental health issues, but they felt there's a responsibility for psychologists to make that a safe place and like to do something more to reach out to black people in the black community, because there's a lot of history of medical people taking advantage of black people, and there are some legitimate reasons behind the problem that we have with dealing with mental health. So they think it's a responsibility also on the psychologist's end to sort of reach out and try to do better and help. So this is their way of doing it, and I applaud them.
Absolutely. I think this is amazing, because I love people who create good conscious content. And what I love is, I always say this, the conscious content out in the world right now is so whack. Like, it's good, like, if you're really going to sit there and take... It's like, I don't even, like, bring up books in 2017 to people, because it's like, they're like, what? Like, reading? Like,
hey,
girl, you don't even count.
Well, like, I know. You learn it, because, like, even, like, because I posted my book haul on Instagram, and I was like, oh, you ain't going to get no likes, are you? Okay, that's like that. Y'all don't read? Okay, I see you.
So I appreciate that they're thinking about, okay, how do we get
this out
to men?
How do we reach them? Yeah.
Under 3 minutes, because this is, like, to sit here and talk about anxiety, that's not a 3 minute conversation.
Yeah.
So that's a talent to have to figure out, how are we going to get this into 3 minutes, so that way when you watch this, you can walk away feeling like you've learned. And I think that that's why it's like, what's that network that the baby's been watching? It's like the new PBS for like little kids.
Where the Caillou be at?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Anyone in the chat room, y'all know
I don't remember. No, I know, because it's the one that's...
And it's 24/7 programming of children's stuff. Like, and it's like, it's genius. And I find myself, when I go home and watching it with these, with my nephew, my body is relaxed. I feel happier versus when I'm watching TV. And it's funny, because there are things that I'm learning. Like, you even learn things, and then I'm like, wait a minute.
You're like, I didn't know that.
These kids just be picking this up like this. So I think it's about creating content, because adults are grown children.
Yeah.
So it's about creating this type of content that adults will think are cool, or teenagers would think was cool. And so I like this.
Or, you know, that we just have time to deal with, because we have so much to deal with all the time. And in reality, there's content coming at us in every direction about everything, everywhere, all the time.
I know, but we're so in this rabbit hole of ratchet. Like, and not when I say ratchet, like, everything isn't ratchet, but it's just like Bill O'Reilly and the Fox Factor. Like, that's ratchet. Like, that's not something that you should be feeding into, or like allowing to leach off of your skin. You know, it feeds you. I don't know,
it sucks us dry is what it's doing.
Did I talk about it on this show? I posted this video on Facebook, and it was talking about water and how we're made up of 80% of it, right? And music, they showed the molecules of water before, like, listening to rock music and how jagged it made, like, it, oh, and how that can affect your body and affect your
of course,
psyche.
That makes sense.
But then, like, to listen to, like, meditation music and Buddhist prayers and whatnot, the molecules were, like, beautifully aligned and all this. I'm just like, where's that shit? Like, why don't we learn about that in school? Like, I want to grow up knowing how to work my body. Like, algebra, ain't never used algebra. Never. Still today.
Sort of.
I mean, no. Honestly, like, even I was a bookkeeper. No.
Not really.
No.
You know, once you get down with addition and subtraction,
you know what I'm
saying? Multiplication and division.
Yeah.
Pretty much,
and at this point, we got technology, you know what I mean? Which I'm all here for doing it yourself.
I am, but it's funny you brought up technology.
But, like, QuickBooks
does everything for you because I have to use it every day. And I was just, it's funny, no, because I was also, today I was sitting thinking, because I was renaming my, what do you call it, your wireless system. And I was trying to come up with a name that's not super whatever, and my password, and that crazy whatever. And I was doing it in French. And I couldn't remember the French word for, I don't remember which one I was trying to figure out, but let's just say home. I don't know. I was like, why don't I remember this? It should be, like, in my brain. That's an easy one. So I go to my little Google, and I'm like, oh, French word for home. And it pops up, and it has the pronunciation. You just press the button. It tells you how to say it. I was just like, "What? How do kids survive, like, actually doing anything in school? Because you can Google any and everything and get every answer, and it's right there, and there's nothing to do." So anyway.
Sprout. That was the kids' channel.
Sprout,
sorry.
Yes.
It was going to really bother me this entire time.
It just came. I understand.
It's a really good program.
It is.
And
good.
The people who have created that, like, I just need them to, like...
It's been around for a while, too.
No, I know. But the way they're developing it, like, we need a teen Sprout. We need an adult Sprout. Like,
well, they might turn into Nick if they do that.
Nickelodeon?
Because Nickelodeon used to do better, I think, personally. I mean, they still do okay. But I'm not really that...
You know,
into
Nickelodeon
their
always had Ren and Stimpy, and that always made me look at them.
Well, but that was... Well, that Ren and Stimpy was the shift.
Oh, I was gonna say it was the shit. Don't.
Well, it was that too.
My
but
mom
it,
would never let me watch it. I'd have to sneak in. She would hear the theme song. She'd be like, "Jesse."
Yes. Do you remember Powder Toast Man?
Oh, yep.
Y'all don't want
to
know how
I used to
I
play Ren and Stimpy the video.
Powder
game.
Toast Man, the log song.
Yep.
Everybody wants a log.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy.
It's log. Okay, we're moving on. So let's talk about somebody. We're going to celebrate some people today also because we want to continue to put positive energy in the world and share information about people that are doing awesome and amazing things, not people that are just doing crap like Cheetos in the office. I'm sorry, I have to throw it in at least once. I just have to do it at least once. Okay, so this week we're celebrating a young woman who is a junior at Xavier University in Louisiana. And girl, I hope I say your name right, but I apologize in advance if I do not. I believe it's just Jerry Williams, but it may be pronounced differently. There are no accents over the E's, so I assume it's just Jerry. But Jerry is basically, so she basically, like, took all these extra classes at the colleges around her high school so that she entered into Xavier University as a junior. She is now 20 years old, and she got selected to be a part of a research program where they're basically developing a battery, a solid-state battery, using chemical elements to help complete the mission to Mars in 2021. So she's basically on this team helping create this battery that will take us to Mars in 2021, which is weird to say because I'm like, 2021? Oh, my God. And then I realize that's 4 years away. Woo, time flies, guys. So she kind of was talking. She was interviewed and talking about how this sort of came about. Basically, what happened is Xavier received a $5 million grant to fund the research project. And the research advisor is Dr. Maida on the project. And he had already sort of developed a battery, like, with pacemakers. And somehow that technology is also being used to create this battery that they need to create to go to space. And the reason she got excited about it is because she was like, my grandmother uses a pacemaker. Like, of course I want to join the team. So she joined the team, and she loves that she's constantly being challenged in the research lab. She said, quote, whether as a researcher or as a normal human, because as a person, we develop thoughts and hypotheses, but it is not true until it is tested. And it makes her super excited. She's going after a dual degree in chemistry and chemical engineering.
Child and failed in life.
I used to love chemistry, though. I kind of sad that I didn't pursue chemistry because I enjoyed it. But anyway, ultimately her goal is to become a lawyer for a chemical plant or a chemical engineering firm. And she would also like to start her own cosmetic line for people with eczema because she suffers from eczema. So she want to play with some chemicals and come up with something awesome. So congratulations, Jerry Williams. You're amazing. And we are inspired by your hard work and your continuing success. I'm sure she's going to be, you know... We'll be talking about her again in, like, you know, 20 years. And she probably done came up with, like, I don't even know at this point. Like, what else can they come up with? They're already, like, making body parts and making hearts and cups and just all, like, they're doing some wild stuff, okay?
I know, and it's just, like, crazy because I go through this religious part in me. And then it's also kind of like, well, science and technology, and this is where we're supposed to be building to. And it's like, is it?
Because I have debates with a friend of mine.
Who's like, God, can you just come down here one time so we can just have one seminar? Like, we just need a re-up. We just need a re-up.
A re-up. Come back, like, Jesus. Jesus. Like, what is, like, what
I don't want you, like, Jesus, I love you, but I don't want you to come now because I know what happens when that something comes. So I don't need that to be while I'm alive right now. So, God, if you could just come down and, like, let's have, like, a quick little halftime moment.
Yes.
You'd be like, all right, guys, here's how everyone's doing. You're sucking right now. You know what
at
I mean?
At this, and y'all going in the wrong, and y'all that want to recreate them dinosaurs, bad idea. Not
because I eat too many microwave foods to be going like, you know, they say trust your heart, trust your, like, I can't.
You eating microwave foods?
I mean, not now, but growing up, that's what I ate. Like, I'm eating much better now.
Okay. Well, did you? Well, we didn't eat a lot of microwave foods, but we did microwave whatever food it was made
often. Stouffer's mac and cheese.
Did you really? I thought it was so gross.
No, it was, but like,
the only thing I was
my
really
mom was
into,
psycho with us touching the stove.
Like, I did well, no, like the I live pizza with my nuggets. I did like the pizza nuggets.
But, pizza nuggets?
You know, what do you call them? They still make the pizza nuggets. Like the little, you know.
You mean Tostito?
No, not the bagel bite.
Tostito.
No. Tostito.
Rolls.
Yeah, those things.
Ew, but when you call them nuggets, that sounds
well, that's
so
what they funny. Are.
No, they're not
pizza
nuggets.
They're
like little pizza pillows.
But I did. They are like pizza pillows, and that's why I have a problem putting them in the microwave, because then they're too gooey like a pillow. I would put them in the oven and like toast
my problem
them.
Is I inhale them.
Yeah.
And microwave, oven, it don't matter. I prefer them in the oven. Like, get a nice little toaster oven.
Take forever.
Yeah. But sometimes you just need that real quick.
Real quick. Did you ever eat Hot Pockets?
Did I ever? I've had every flavor of a Hot Pocket you could. Even to this day, it's really hard for me not to open the Hot Pocket because it's just habit to not open it up when I see a new flavor. I'm like, oh, what are these ones?
I am so mad.
But now that I'm friends with
you cannot eat
Courtney,
any of that.
She got me reading the back of books. Not the back of books.
The back of cartons.
And I'm like,
shit. What is that? I don't know what that is. Yeah.
I never looked at sodium a day in my life till I met this woman. And it's so funny. You know what Tiana said to me? She was like, you know, Jesse, every time we go out, it's so weird. You always get corn. And I'm like, because I'm scared to get it from the grocery store.
I ruined Jesse's food life. Side note, just because we're talking about food and it does have something to do with the food, did you see the tweet that McDonald's tweeted today?
And the Wendy's shaded the fuck out.
Yes. So the tweet was from McDonald's today that by, 2018?
I can't,
or something, or 2019, their quarter pounder will be made of 100% fresh beef. I think it's 100% fresh beef. And then the question came up, well, what the hell was it before? And Wendy's responded... We have to find it. But that just made me think of you because I keep telling you to stop eating McDonald's.
Look, here's the thing. I've eaten enough shit in my life that it just is...
Did you find it?
No, they didn't even give a percentage.
Oh.
Today we've announced that by mid-2018, all quarter pounder burgers at the majority of our...
So every one of them can't afford to...
Will be cooked with fresh beef. Okay, now we could pull this apart in different ways.
Well, people are sensitive. They're like, oh, they
fresh
just mean
beef,
not frozen anymore.
Okay. Which is what I'm sure that they're referencing, but disgusting. Here's my thing. I do this with all the time. I actually did a stand-up set talking about Subway. Because you cannot tell me that I've been eating chicken my entire life and then come on and be like, oh, here's the real chicken. And now when I'm looking at the two chickens, I'm like, why is that one slimy and cubed?
Yeah.
And why does that one look like ripped up rotisserie chicken?
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't
but
do
they
that.
Are.
I know you are. I understand that. And like, why does your roast beef glisten like that? Like, why does it look like Polaroid sunglasses?
What?
It looks like a fly's wing. They're roast beef at
Ew,
Subway. Ew,
what are you talking about? Oh my God.
I will not eat roast beef from Subway for that exact reason.
Okay. Well,
what is this?
Wait.
No, they didn't do a video for
Steven
the
in the booth. He's got
Steven.
A video. Oh my God.
So it's a they put a video of them cooking fresh beef. McDonald's, get it together. Now,
I mean,
at this point, you know what I mean? Like, it's just hard because it's in my neighborhood, you know what I mean? Let's just say I live on the border of, like, a cute neighborhood and not so cute neighborhood. So I feel bad for the people who live in the cute neighborhood because the cute neighborhood, there really ain't that much shit around to go get food. Like, you have to go into a place or, like, sit at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Or the only, like, quick things around is McDonald's. Literally, there's three McDonald's around me. There's an In-N-Out burger, but, like, that one, you go wait all the way down the goddamn line.
You gotta wait, yeah. Well,
so it's, like, that's why a lot of times you'll see me here, I'll grab it, it's right next door. So I just be like, shoot, I'm starving.
Easy.
I need something in my stomach. Otherwise, I'm gonna be passed out on here, you know what I mean? So I might as well eat the cardboard.
Eat the cat or whatever it is.
I want to believe that it's not another animal. Like, I want to believe that... Okay,
I would almost feel better if it were another animal.
The
problem is that we don't know if it's, like, weird innards of, like, random bugs or something. Like,
I don't even think it's that. So
it definitely doesn't look like
food. This game.
Uh-oh.
And...
You scared your dog. His dog, Rex, is hiding behind a chair now.
Oh, my God, Rex.
After this conversation.
Rex! Rex is like, this is what you feed me? No, get out of here. All right, so there's this game. Can't remember the name of it. But if you Google, like, McDonald's game, so you basically are in charge of a McDonald's, and you have to buy the land, you have to grow the crops, then you take the crops and you feed the cows, and, like, but then there's this one thing, right? And then you take the cows and they pick the cows up. If the cows get sick, you can still kind of use that beef if you want to, or you could kill the cow.
Oh, jeez.
And don't get it twisted. I've been under the gun a little bit. I had to use some sick cows before.
You killed the sick. You use the sick cow.
But here's the thing. They also give an option to feed the cows, like, waste. And I'm like, why is this game showing that?
Because that's what happens in our farming industry.
I know, and I'm like, but that's what I feel like is half of the meat is whatever that
whatever the random
thing is.
Ew, whatever the waste is that they're being fed.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Justin, that's horrible.
I know, it's a game, and I was just I played it all the time, but I was just like, why are they showcasing this?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a crazy health fanatic, but I'm not. I'm really not. Like, you know, but I am fully aware that because we like options and like to make money in this country, we have overstepped our
morals, caring.
Our actual, like, legitimate, like, sustainable resources. And so we go extra, like, all these cows and doing all this stuff because everybody feels like they need to have a supermarket full of beef year-round. Like, that was never how we were meant to be, I believe, on this earth. Like, having full access to every single thing and every single fruit and every single everything all the time, anytime you need it, wherever you need it, in any capacity that you need it. And I think that's where we've gone wrong because we want to keep building up that industry and making sure people are making money like that, and we don't think about what it's costing us internally and on the planet.
It's so funny. Another thing this week, I was just like, what is life, right?
Who knows?
And I'm like, because see, the thing is, like, I always say it, and I say it because it genuinely, especially looking back, I never realized it in the moment how different my life was from a lot of people, like, growing up with natives.
Mm-hmm.
And being this age and, like, living in New York, coming out here to L.A., like, because in New York, everything is, like, this hustle and this grind, and you gotta...
Yeah.
Out here, it's, like, materialistic, superficial, and...
You can go hike, though, and get a green juice.
Right, yeah. Which adds to that. Even though they're saying it's to live a healthier life and all this, it's not. It's for you to be in this superficial, kind of materialistic world. Because... you can go for a hike and make that green juice on your own. And that's where I come from. And it's when I think about the people I grew up with and how simple life is and was, you know, it's just kind of like, what are we doing? Because that, growing up the way I grew up, is how I see other countries.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the natural way. And we're just these disgusting American pigs who are just like,
entertainment, food. Because we want everything now, all the time.
I want the world. I want the whole world.
That is so true. Oh my God. Well, okay, we'll get off our soapbox about the planet. But isn't it, I did see, is it, did I make this up, or is the new, like the next incarnation of An Inconvenient Truth is coming out, or is it already out? The global warming series that Al Gore, or series, movie that Al Gore did a few years ago, but then they have like, I don't, that's what happens. See, we click, there's too much like coming at me all the time, but I just clicked something and I'm like, this may have been, maybe it was 2 years ago and I totally missed it. I don't know, but I saw like them talking about the next incarnation of Inconvenient Truth, and I forget what the name of it is. They like played with the name again, but they were just kind of showing how all the things in Inconvenient Truth that people were like, oh, that's never going to happen. Like the 9/11 memorial will never get flooded and blah, blah, blah. Like that happened when Hurricane Sandy came, and like how some of the predictions sort of came true regardless, because global warming is happening. And then, but then some of the positive, amazing things that are happening because of the fact that we started thinking about it, and then why we need to stay on Cheetos because he's trying to reverse all of it.
And why you guys in the next voting room, we all need to not vote left or right.
Yeah.
And vote together.
Vote together for the future. But anyway, aha, it is just an inconvenient sequel. Okay, so I'm not crazy, right? It's like, it hasn't come out, or it's on its way out or something?
Not out yet.
Okay, there you go, guys. See, spreading information, because we are just talking about random stuff. And we're going to close out with a last story celebrating another person who is about to do something else amazing, because he's already done one thing superly amazing, and I'm sure he's done many other things in his life that were amazing. We just happen to know about this one. So Barry Jenkins, who was the writer, director, producer of the exceptional film Moonlight that I've been touting and touting and touting the praise of since last year. Of course, most of you should know it won the Oscar for Best Picture, even though there was like drama around that too. But so anyway, Barry Jenkins, who directed it and wrote it and all of that, has a new project he's coming out with, and it is based on the winner of the National Book Award, guys. So we're talking about
bringing books back.
So this book called, it's called Colson Whitehead wrote it, and it's called The Underground Railroad, and it got Oprah's stamp of approval. It won the National Book Award, so it was the biggest book of 2016, similar to how Moonlight could be considered the biggest movie of 2016 because it won the Oscar. So he's tackling this book, and he's going to make it into a series. TV adaptation on it, and it's going to be on Amazon. It's in development right now. And basically, the book is about the Underground Railroad, sort of as we know it. Like, I read the description, and I'm not quite sure, like, where it's going, so I'm actually excited to read the book before this series comes out. But Claire Fallon, who writes for the Huffington Post, and she reviewed the book, said it was an instant classic, and it tells the story of an eponymous railroad familiar to the students of American history. Obviously, we know what the Underground Railroad is. Filtered through the lens of speculative fiction, so it is a fiction book. It's not trying to be like a, you know, historical story. And the book centers around Cora, a young woman enslaved on a Georgia plantation who descends into a literal subway system in an attempt to escape into freedom. That didn't really give me a whole lot about, like, what's really going on with this book, but I am excited to read it because I typically go looking for the National Book Award winners, and I will eventually get to them. I have the list, and, you know, I try to read whatever won that year to see if, you know.
See, I've never been into, like, what that. Like, I'm, like, I like psychology books. Like, I'm not really, like, a storybook kind of person.
Don't get it twisted. I read it all. No, but no. I think it's, when, that's sort of how I pick, like, a random book that I normally wouldn't pick. Okay. Is like, what won the award? Because it's not necessarily always an author that I care about or something that I would pick. Or this actually probably because I'm a big historical fiction person, so I enjoy reading historical fiction. But anyway, so we're excited for Barry Jenkins to see what he's going to do. And obviously the show that's on now on WGN, Underground, which is not based on this book at all, is doing really well. And we talk about how, oh, all these slave stories, like, we don't want any more slave stories. We don't talk about it. Some people on this panel occasionally, I'm not one of them. I personally believe that we have not even touched the edge of all the stories we could tell about our history as in the slavery era and beyond. And
it's about how you tell the stories.
It's about how you tell them and who's getting to tell them. And now the, like, Barry Jenkins is getting to tell the story instead of, you know, Margaret Mitchell, who wrote Gone with the Wind. Like, right. So it's going to be a very different story. So anyway, that's coming to Amazon, hopefully sometime next year. So we'll be waiting with bated breath to see what he does. And he's super creative and interesting. So
I think it'll come up.
I'll be interested to see what he does with it.
It'll be interesting because it's on Amazon.
That too, yeah.
Because
you have some more freedom.
I'd like to know what their subscription. Sir, I've never really looked into them, like, you know, as far as, like, demographic goes.
Oh, me either. I don't know their demos, but I do watch stuff on their show, on their
no, I hear
thing all the time.
You, I have a couple other friends who, you know, swear by it.
Oh. Jesse got beat in the face with his microphone.
7 years. Never in my life has that happened.
It just fell in his face. It was like, it was like, give me a kiss.
You hungry? Why wait?
A mess. But yeah, so that's the conclusion of our legitimate stories for the week. Is there any parting words that you would like to share with our audience, Jesse?
No, but I have a funny story I can share with you guys.
Go ahead. We like to laugh.
So, and plus, clearly none of y'all went and saw the interview. So you can go do it now. But over at AfterBuzz TV, our sister network, I got to interview, oh my God, Loretta Devine.
Yes, you did.
And, oh my God. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. What's his name? David Allen Greer.
Oh.
Right before, I was so excited that this was going to happen. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting. Cause, like, I had a run in with Loretta.
He was sure that Loretta did not like his white boyness.
Yes. Like, but then I realized what the situation is now. And I was in my feelings and I should have got out of them. But, anyways, so as they're coming up, I was like, okay, you know what I mean? This network is doing an interview. They're taking their time. I'm going to go grab a donut because I'm hungry. So I went over and I grab beautiful.
A beautiful donut.
Glazed with a pink frosting and sprinkles on top of it. It looked like Homer Simpson made them. And as I bite into this donut, a sprinkle flicks into my eye. And I start freaking out. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys, there's a sprinkle in my eye. Like, it won't get out. So there's like, everyone's like, all the girls around me trying to use their nails to try and get the sprinkle on my eye. It goes up into my eyelid. And I'm freaking out because I'm like, I'm not going to get to interview these people. Like, and I can literally feel the confectionery sugar tears just coming out of my eye.
Oh, no.
So I literally did that entire interview with a sprinkle
stuck under your eyelid.
Oozing out of it.
Oh.
I don't know. I just wanted to share that with you guys. Well, that's... I didn't tell anyone. I was like, oh, that's
your random Hollywood, story for the week. All right.
Black Hollywood Live exclusive.
I'm so...
But that was for the AfterBuzz interview.
Mad at that sound effect. But yeah, check that out on AfterBuzz because Loretta Devine's awesome. And Jesse did a great interview. I don't really have a cool story to follow up with that other than in talking about all this food, it only reminded me of how much hungrier I am than I realized I was when we started this show. And the fact that even in all of my attempts to be super healthy and like find my way out of the meat life in general, because I'm not a big red meat eater anyway, like I might eat it occasionally... and for the most part, I tried to be plant-based and all that, but chicken is probably the worst meat I can eat in this country at this point because of the horrible things they do to the chickens. But I'm gonna just say that I fried some chicken a couple days ago, and I hadn't fried chicken in probably a year, if not longer, because I just don't.
I choose not to
because whatever. But I fried it in coconut oil. Which I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, guys. Because usually, I mean, I use the hood, like, you know, some Wesson, like canola oil or whatever. But I got my healthy oils. I'm just using coconut oil or grapeseed oil to cook. Have been doing that for years. Also why I don't really fry chicken anymore. Or fry anything for that matter. But anyway, I fried that chicken, y'all. That was the best fried chicken I've had in a long time. And all I want to do is eat it right now. And I don't have any. So there's my story for the day. You can fry chicken in coconut oil. It fries just as well as it does in the Wesson canola oil.
Anytime me and Courtney do something, it always comes down to food. Literally, the whole show.
Because I love food.
I know.
I love food so much. Like, and last week when we had wings after the show, like, I want wings again. Girl, because I just
I'm so
need
mad you have
wings.
Another show to film.
I'm mad. I do too. But, you know, because happy hour ends at 7.
I know. Ooh, and I thought of you last night too because I wanted some truffle parmesan fries just dipped in some aioli sauce.
Ooh, at the counter.
Mm-mm. Umami burger.
Oh, umami. I could do that too. Anyway, so we're just obviously rambling at this point about food. So we will conclude the show for this week. Thank you for just joining us for a Jesse and Courtney hour, 45 minutes, or however long we've been running our mouths talking about random stuff. Hope you guys have had an awesome week. And if you didn't have an awesome week, forget about it, because tomorrow is Friday.
Watch more of our content.
Watch some content. Have a great weekend. Give us some comments. Chat with us. Let us know what y'all thinking about, what y'all doing, what's going on. And in the meantime, Jesse, where can they follow you and find you and do stuff with you?
Boom. DJ Jesse J. I was like, oh.
Well, actually.
And if you guys are in LA, April 14th, come to Trapchella. Check out my Instagram at DJ Jesse J for more information and get your tickets. It's
did have that video up, and I was like, what in the world?
Oh, you're not even going to be ready.
What is going on? Anyway, so I'm everywhere, guys, at Stuart Starlet. Follow me, find me, come tell me about yourself and whatnot. And make sure you follow us at BHL Online because we need followers and we love you. So thanks for joining us. You guys have an awesome week.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christie, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.